Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
Bay.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning, November 19th. So we are more than halfway through the month of November, if you can believe it. Feels like this one's flying by even faster than October. October, you know, I understand why that flies by for me, because I'm out doing something every night and I'm busy and I'm slammed with all my different paranormal stuff. But a lot of people were commenting how October seemed to fly by. And now, to me, November seems to be going even faster. Like, I actually said to somebody yesterday, I was like, what's today, the 7th, the 8th? And they're like, it's the 18th. Like, man, where'd those 10 days go? But I guess, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Or when you're just nonstop working. But we're coming up on at least a little bit of a break. Next week, we will have Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. We will be off both of those days. We'll have syndicated programming for you on both of those days. I mean, here's the way I look at it, right? On Thanksgiving, you're not listening to the radio anyway. I'm trying to find out if I can get permission to do this. And it's something I've always wanted to do, but I'm not sure we can do it. I have to kind of check the schedule and all that kind of stuff. But I'd really like to play Alice's Restaurant at least a couple times on Thursday. And it may mean having to just, you know, preempt some network programming. But I think those are all kind of best ofs anyway. I don't think anybody would really mind. But I would love to be able to do it. I just don't know that I can. You know, there's contractual agreements to when you air things, if you can air, if you cut them off. So I'd have to have Michael Rock help me look into some of that. But I would love to be able to play Alice's Restaurant, because that's a Thanksgiving tradition for me. And it's getting harder and harder to find radio stations that do that. You know, what was it? WBCN used to do it. I know they did it at noon, but I can't remember how often they did it. I think they did it like every 3 hours. But I don't know if I can get away with that, but at least doing it at noontime. Maybe I can swap out Bill O'Reilly. I don't know. Again, Michael has to check the contracts for all that stuff. It's above my pay grade. And then if I can pull it off, I will let you know in advance if we're going to have it. And if not, maybe I'll bend the company rules a little bit because we're not, we, you know, there's rules about what we can share on our app chat, our app alert feature. But maybe I'll bend those rules a little bit and share out the YouTube link for Alice's restaurant. Maybe I can get around it by writing an article about it and then just send out the link to the article with the song included. Yeah, that might work. But if you have never heard that song, you know, it's on its surface a Thanksgiving song. But of course, it's a deeper subversive message. There is one word that I would probably bleep out because I don't want that word on our airwaves. But other than that, I think it would be a perfectly fine thing to play for Thanksgiving. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails, and the WBSM app. We were talking in the last hour about a couple of stories, local stories. Actually, a lot of local stories. And they're all on the table. We can talk more about this crash pad for offshore wind that the city is creating. The Quest. Mayor Mitchell will be in with Chris later, and they'll talk more about that. We can also talk about the new training facility at the Bristol County Sheriff's Office at the House of Correction in Dartmouth. It is the former ICE Detention Center, has now been refurbished and turned into a training center because, as Sheriff Rowe pointed out, the BCSO is not going to be involved in any immigration work. They're not going to be part of any deportation plans. They're not going to be part of any immigration enforcement. Now, some of you are hearing this and saying, well, of course not, because, you know, he's a Soros-funded liberal. He doesn't believe in any of that. But he did say he would share information about detainees with the federal authorities. He's not trying to be obstructionist in the work that the federal government is trying to do. He's just saying it's not the goal, not the purpose of his department to do that. That it's already tough enough for them to do the job of the county sheriff's office with the people that they have. They can't be taking on additional duties. And that this training center is supposed to, you know, help with that. Because it's hard when you get people that want to come and train and try to get the job, and they show up and they're working in modular buildings and rundown buildings. And they say, well, if this is how I'm starting, what is the facility going to be like when I get in there? So this gives them a much better place to better equip future employees to work. And also houses their canine unit and their version of the SWAT team for when there's things that break out. And since it's space that wasn't being utilized anyway, because they weren't going to be doing ICE detention, and they didn't hire anybody to do the work, they did it using existing employees, which is the way they've been doing a lot of the work over there. That's how they fixed up the bunks to make them suicide proof. They used their own labor. So you've seen progress made without costs going up. And I know a lot of people don't like Sheriff Rowe's policies. They don't like the fact that he beat Sheriff Hodgson. They wish that Sheriff Hodgson was still in there so he could keep combating the illegal immigrant crisis. But that is not the job of the county sheriff. Tom Hodgson made it the job of the county sheriff by getting the contract. So, I mean, it's not like he was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. But those contracts were rescinded, and now the county sheriff just has to focus on what the county sheriff does, which is jail inmates. Jail people who are awaiting detention or who are on short-term sentences. So I think that this was a fine use of that facility. I watched the video that they sent over. It looked pretty good. I couldn't go to the press availability yesterday. But it seems like it's better to have that than to have a building that was going to sit empty, at least as long as Paul Hureau is sheriff. And again, he's not saying he'll stand in the way of deportations or immigration enforcement. He's just saying it's not his job. It's not his office's job. And that he would share information with them if that's what they need. But that's about the extent of what he can do. They're talking about trying to shut down the Ash Street Jail. And if that's something that's going to happen, which I thought, you know, the ICE Center was going to be part of the plan for that, but, you know, whatever. But if you're going to shut down Ash Street Jail, you're going to have less space to take people on. And you can't be taking people on that aren't under the guise of what your job is supposed to be. So we can discuss that some more. We can also talk about the two kind of paranormal adjacent stories that we've been following. We have the Conjuring House in Burrillville, Rhode Island, not getting its entertainment license renewed due to the actions and behavior of the owner, Jacqueline Nunez. So the police chief certainly wasn't comfortable renewing the license after the application that Jacqueline sent in with the unsolicited 7-page essay, basically about how she's the savior of the world, the savior of mankind. And also, she's had her own legal issues as of late. And there's numerous complaints from former employees. And all these things kind of taken into consideration make the town council decide we are not going to renew this license. You're welcome to apply again next year. Hopefully things have changed. But she is not going to have this is a little bit different than what was originally discussed, where it might have, because she doesn't have workman's comp insurance. So until she got that cleared out, she could be the only employee. And right now she can be the only employee unless she's gotten that cleared up since the story came out. But that, even having that workman's comp insurance, that's not what this license non-renewal hinged upon. I'm sure they would have given her a grace period to get that taken care of if they were renewing the license. This means that after November 30th, she's just not going to be able to operate at all as a business. Now, are there ways that she can get around that? Probably. I don't know what Burrillville's rules are for Airbnb or Vrbo or any of those things, but she could try doing it in that way. She'd no longer be allowed to give the tours, but she doesn't really have a lot of people to give the tours anyway. And she can't give them herself. She said as much to the people there. You know, I don't think it would affect her ability to be a lodging, but that also requires licensing too. If she just said, hey, we're just going to be a bed and breakfast. You know, not an Airbnb, but a bed and breakfast. That would require licensing that she probably won't get approved for. And that's just based more on the house. So it wouldn't be an effective bed and breakfast the way that it's constructed. So she won't be able to do the ghost event. She won't be able to do the tours under this entertainment license, but she may be able to rent the whole house out as one unit through Airbnb. again, I don't know what Barville's rules are, but that might be the way that she can continue to bring in income. And it might be better for the people that rent it, because if that means she's going to be off-site and hands-off, that's safer for them to not be around her with her erratic behavior. And maybe that's the plan. And maybe that works out. And then maybe you can get into the Conjuring House and do what you want to do there. But they are going to be rebranding it, apparently, to the, what'd she call it? The Arnold Experience. The Arnold. The Realm of Arnold. So you can still, you know, if she goes with that plan, you'd still be able to go there and stay there, and you'd have the run of the place for the time that you rent it. And then if you happen to rent it through Airbnb or Vrbo, one of those services, and you decided to do a ghost hunt of it while you were there, well, that doesn't require an entertainment license. Because that's not her running those events. That's not her facilitating those events. That's you just doing that. Same way you could do that in any hotel room that you rent. Or any bed and breakfast that you stay at. So that might be a way around things. We were also talking about the appeal decision that came down from the First Circuit Court of Appeals regarding the Lizzie Borden House's lawsuit against Miss Lizzie's Coffee. And if you remember, last year, Judge Sorokin said, there's no merit to this case. There's no merit to imply injunctive relief, and so therefore there's no merit to go forward. And the appeals court, the appellate court, held up the judge's decision. So now, I don't know where this goes from here, but hopefully this is the end of it. Hopefully this means that they can find a way to move forward and work. You know, they don't have to work together, but certainly work in harmony with each other, because they are neighbors. They should be able to get along. They should be able to coexist and perhaps, maybe actually work together. Because one can benefit the other. One can bring in business for the other. The house can send people over to the coffee shop. The coffee shop can send people over to the house. And I don't know why that can't be seen as a positive. People tried to make the argument when this whole thing broke. People were calling in and saying, well, you know, how would you like it if you opened a restaurant and then somebody else opened a restaurant next door? Like, there's nothing you can do about that. That's capitalism. That's free enterprise. If I called my restaurant Tim Weisberg's Restaurant, and then somebody opened up a restaurant right next to me called Tim's Cafe, there's nothing I can do about that. Except put a sign in a window saying that we're not affiliated, which is what the coffee shop did. And the court ruled was good enough. They called it conspicuous. And they said that basically gets the point across to people that they're not connected. And that if people still think that they are, that's on the people. That's not on the business. I got a feeling this isn't going to end things, but it should end things. And I wouldn't be surprised if the next step is U.S. Ghost Adventures knocks on Miss Lizzie's door and makes an offer to try to buy out the place. In which case, Joe has said, you know, he's not going to sell to them. But they are currently buying the LaLaurie Mansion in New Orleans. They already purchased the Villisca Axe Murder House in Iowa. So they're adding more places on to the docket. And they're claiming to be the small business. that's being injured in this. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break. We'll be back in a few. Welcome back in. That is Make It Real by the Jets. And right now, Phil Devitt's going to make it real by giving us all the latest headlines.
Biden gives the missile go-ahead to Ukraine. Will the Matt Gaetz ethics probe see the light of day? And good luck beating this Airbnb deal.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Multiple sources indicate President Biden is giving the okay to Ukraine to strike Russia with U.S.-made long-range missiles. At the same time, there are reports Ukraine plans to launch strikes in the coming days. This comes after news of North Korean soldiers arriving at the front to fight alongside Russian troops. The House may vote to release former Congressman Matt Gaetz's ethics probe. President-elect Trump selected the former Florida Republican to be his attorney general with a probe involving bribes and illegal sexual activity surrounding the congressman. Some Republican senators have questioned whether Gaetz is the best person for the job. House Speaker Mike Johnson is pushing to keep the report sealed. An attorney says two of his clients have told the House Ethics Committee that Gaetz paid them for sex. Florida attorney Joel Leppard tells NBC News that one of his clients also saw Gaetz having sex with an underage woman at a house party in 2017. Trump's nominee for national security advisor says no one on his team is questioning his cabinet picks.
This team, you don't have anybody on the team thinking they know better than him or want to undermine or obfuscate. We are all on board rowing in the same direction.
Republican Congressman Michael Waltz of Florida adds there is an excitement among the picks and they are ready to get to work. Sean Diddy Combs' lawyers say feds raided his jail cell and seized privileged materials. Lisa Taylor with the details.
According to TMZ, Sean Combs' attorney claimed those materials included notes to his legal team about defense witnesses and strategies for his trial. The trial is set for May in New York. Diddy is behind bars for alleged sex trafficking. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The U.S. Postal Service is coming out with a Betty White stamp. The late actress's image is one among a few new stamps to debut next year. The Postal Service called the Golden Girl star an icon of American television who gained younger generations of fans as she entered her 90s. The stamp features a digital illustration of White based on a 2010 photograph of her. She died at 99 years old in 2021. Nearly 80 million Americans are expected to travel over the Thanksgiving holiday. AAA predicting the numbers will surpass pre-pandemic levels and set a new record between November 26th and December 2nd. Most will travel by car, but airlines are gearing up as well. Add another Oscar to the legacy of Quincy Jones, the legendary music producer who died this month at 91. Was posthumously awarded an honorary Lifetime Achievement Oscar at the Governor's Awards in Hollywood over the weekend. His daughter, actress Rashida Jones, accepted the award. Jones, who produced a huge list of hits, also produced movies including The Color Purple and did the soundtracks for films including In Cold Blood and The Wiz. And Airbnb and Paramount Pictures are teaming up to offer two nights of entertainment next year at the Colosseum in Rome. More from Tammy Trujillo.
The event is meant to celebrate the release of Ridley Scott's Gladiator II. It's not an overnight stay, but guests will have a tour of the Colosseum and then train in gladiator combat over the course of 3 hours. Airbnb says the event is about preservation, having donated $1.5 million to the Colosseum. Not everyone is happy, however, with at least one former European Parliament member likening the event to turning the Colosseum into a theme park. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics at TD Garden to play the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight at 7. Bruins home to play the Utah Hockey Club on Thursday. Patriots in Miami to play the Dolphins on Sunday.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Cool, sunny, and breezy today and tomorrow. Elevated fire conditions remain, but moderate to heavy rain comes in Thursday morning. First significant rainfall in over a month. Showers linger into Friday and maybe Saturday. Colder air moving in with the storm, so expect temps in the 40s through the start of the weekend. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We were talking earlier this morning about that fire that occurred in Fairhaven yesterday. An unattended fire pit led to a shed burning down, apparently a propane tank exploding, and the porch and part of a house, the deck and part of a house being burned. Significant damage. Because this was a case where someone was burning during this red flag warning. And they, I guess, walked away from the fire and weren't paying attention. And it sparked the shed on fire. And then it just took off from there. And fire hazards are especially high with the dry weather that we've had. The conditions that we have, all the brush that's around. And right now, firefighters are battling a brush fire in the Blue Hills Reservation. So up in Milton, near Houghton's Pond, as of WCVB's reporting this morning, it had already grown to 40 acres off Hillside Street. And people are reporting seeing and smelling the smoke along nearby Interstate 95. It even prompted the Brockton Fire Department to alert residents of possible smoke and haze in the area. So you're looking at probably 10 miles Brockton's away from Milton, from that area, 10 to 15. So that's, you know, obviously that's pretty close for the amount of fire that they're having and smoke that they're having. But they're trying now to backburn that fire, which involves intentionally setting fires to build a barrier line to stop the brush fire. And they have forestry task forces coming in to try to help put the fire out. And that's an area that, you know, I've spent a lot of time in as a kid growing up. That's where we would go on the weekends, the Blue Hills Reservation. And there's a lot of beautiful areas there that are now getting torched because who knows what started this fire. And one of the things that, you know, we have to keep an eye on too is that the temperature is still dropping at night enough that where, you know, if there are homeless people living in the woods, they're setting a fire to keep warm. And if they fall asleep with that fire burning, that can cause issues. But we got to do our part to just make sure we're not doing anything to accelerate this. No pun intended. So if you are a smoker, please do not throw your cigarette out the car window or drop your cigarette on the ground. It is
very dangerous conditions out there, and you could spark a fire that could take off in a matter of moments. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll update you if they have any more information about the battle of the brush fire at the Blue Hills Reservation out in Milton near Houghton's Pond. You've probably seen that sign a million times, you know, coming off the highway, Houghton Pond Reservation. Like, it's a big space. And 300 acres on fire. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
How are you?
All right.
I'm great. What I'm talking about now is kind of being irrelevant to what you're talking about. But last week I did what you asked to do. I went to the dog mill and I had some food there. I had a fish sandwich and I had a cup of the kale soup and it was okay. There were a lot of people there. So I guess a lot of people had heard that they were closing on the 20th of December. And I met some people that I know from Shaw's. And then after that, I did the McGraw thing with the ice cream, the six different flavors.
Yeah, the sampler. And,
that was excellent. Oh, my God, was that excellent. And they were as nice as could be. Super, super nice. I love, like you said, the coffee Oreo cookie one. That was, like, so good. The real coffee tasting. I don't think I've ever had coffee ice cream like that. And I tried the chocolate peanut butter. That was excellent with lots of chunks of peanut butter in it. I had the pistachio. I love the pecan, the butter pecan one. That one was really, really good, too. And I love the pumpkin caramel swirl. That was out of this world delicious. And I don't remember what the other one was. There was quite a few there, though, that I tried. Very, very good. And like I said, super nice. They had me try a little taste of their mango sorbet, and it was really good, too. That was good, too. So they say they switch it up from time to time, so I'm trying to get them to do ginger ice cream because that's my ice cream. And they said that they probably will do it somewhere along the line, so I'll be really happy, especially if it's really good because the one in Mattapoisson isn't as good as it used to be that I remember from way back when I was a kid.
Yeah, ginger's hard to find, and a lot of times when you find it now, unless it's something that's being made homemade, they've kind of toned down the ginger. So it's kind of like a vanilla with a little bit of ginger flavor to it.
Yes, absolutely. It's not the same as I remember it to be, exactly what you just said. And I mentioned the ice cream place from years ago in Marion called Peterson's, and they knew it about that. They said, people have been talking about that place. Because, you know, living at Mattapoisson and also going there for all my summers, no matter where I lived in this country, we used to go there quite a bit as a kid growing up in the 60s. But I'm off to work pretty soon. I just wanted to touch base with you and let you know that I did go to these places and love McGraw's. And they are the nicest people ever. Oh, they're so, so nice.
Yeah, they really are.
You know, they are. And they love you. They said that you took a picture of them and everything.
I did. I actually forgot to take a picture when I was there. And so I had to go back the next day. I was just about ready to publish the article. And I was covering for Chris because that was the day that he couldn't come in because of the dog. And so I was just kind of sitting here like covering the Howie show. And I was like, all right, I got to run over there. I got 10 minutes left in the segment. I got to go grab a quick photo and come back because I forgot to take it. So I had to run over there and grab one real quick so I could publish the story.
And they mentioned that, too, and they said that you are the nicest person. I said, yeah, well, I listen to you all the time. A lot of people do. Unfortunately, not everybody calls in to talk to you, but I know there's a lot of people that listen to WBSM on a regular basis.
I keep finding people, you know, people coming up to me at the Hunger Heroes food drop and coming up to me in different places like, I listen all the time. We'll call in. Oh, no, it's not really for me. I understand.
That's right. But I just wanted to touch base with you and let you know that I had a good time doing this, whatever that day off is that I had last week.
Well, I'm glad that you did.
Okay. Well, you have a great day now.
You as well. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
And 508-996-0500. And, you know, just to go back to ginger ice cream for a moment, you know, now you find it a lot of times it's very smooth and creamy because they've just put ginger into like vanilla ice cream and whipped it together. And that's usually like a ginger powder, ginger flavoring. But to make a real ginger ice cream, like I want to be spitting out chunks of, well, not spitting out, but I want to be, you know, biting into chunks of ginger in there. And there was, I think it was called Welcome Farms. I want to say that was the name of it. And I want to say it was in like Abington, maybe that area. When I was a kid, we would go there and it was, it had an ice cream. It was an ice cream stand that had a cow on the roof of the stand. Not a real cow, obviously. Plastic cow, fake cow. And then they also had like some cows and other animals on the property. And so you could sit there at the picnic table and eat your ice cream and feed the, I don't know, goats or cows, whatever else they had. And I seem to remember that being, you know, the best ginger ice cream I ever had. Because my mom likes it. And she got me into it. And now once in a while, I want some of it. And you can't always get it everywhere. You know, my parents live close to Erickson's Ice Cream in Carver now, and they have a good ginger ice cream. So, you know, my mom can get her fix, but I've gone all over. I went to Gray's in Tiverton, tried theirs. It's very good. I wrote a whole article about it one time. Maybe I should bring that back out, put it on Facebook, the ginger ice cream article, see what people's thoughts are. Maybe that will inspire McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream to say, okay, the audience has spoken. But yeah, that's Matt's plan over there, is to, you know, make different flavors and rotate them out, because he makes all that ice cream himself, homemade. And when one flavor runs out, rather than make another batch of that same, they're going to have their 10 regular core flavors, but the six rotating ones, he's going to do a different one each time. So you get a chance to try different things and see what's your favorite, and, you know, then get excited for when it makes a comeback. They'll announce on their Facebook page, you know, what flavors are out there each week. And then you can say, oh, they've got my favorite this week, you know, so that kind of thing. All right, let me take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Need to rule the whole world, but I would like to at least, you know, have some say in the ice cream flavors that are out there. And so Laura brought up the ginger ice cream, and I did just share on the WBSM Facebook page the article I wrote a couple of years ago about how the South Coast needs more ginger ice cream spots. So sound off in the comments under that post on Facebook, not only about how you feel about ginger ice cream, but also where else can you get it. I listed a few in that story. As I mentioned before, Erickson's in Carver, Gray's in Tiverton, Handy Hill in Westport, Oxford Creamery in Mattapoisett. Those were, back then in 2022 when I wrote that article, I called around to pretty much every ice cream place or checked their menu online to see if they carried ginger ice cream, and that's about what I found. Now, I believe that the bubble tea place next door has it. And perhaps the sushi place here as well, because they're all connected. They're the same family, I guess. So I noticed too, yesterday I got a poke bowl next door, and she actually has hot dogs now, which I thought was a pretty interesting idea. She has, you know, sausages and stuff too, like Chinese sausages, but she also has the hot dog roller, like hot dog machine with hot dogs. So if you're coming by to get some bubble tea, you can get yourself a hot dog. But the poke bowls there are very good. So I was also taking a look, too, at seizethedeal.com. We have a number of great deals that are on sale now and some that are going on sale very soon. Right now, you can get $50 in e-vouchers to Scotty's Pub in Fall River for just $25. And what does that mean, an e-voucher? It means that when you buy this at seizethedeal.com, they're going to send that e-voucher to you right away so you can go use it right away. You don't have to wait for it to come in the mail. So you can be thinking to yourself, oh, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? I don't know. Want to go to Scotty's Pub? You can go on seizethedeal.com, buy that $50 e-voucher for $25, and the two of you are probably going to eat well for that $50 that you'll get for just $25. And also, we have right now $50 in gift certificates to Tipsy Toboggan in Fall River, $50 in certificates to Friendly's Ice Cream in Dartmouth, $50 in certificates to Churrascaria Trapero's Grill in Dartmouth. That's the former Brazilian grill. $50 to Canned Heat Craft Beer in Fall River, $50 to the Friendlies in Fall River, and available soon, $50 gift certificate to New Beige in New Bedford and to Old Grist Mill in Seekonk. These are all $50 certificates that you can have for just $25 at seizethedeal.com. We are saving you half on dining out. And if you don't check seizethedeal.com every day, you are missing out on some fantastic deals and some fantastic opportunities. All right, I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.